Hi there. You're listening to the Voice with Action podcast. I am your host, Deb Balico.
And I am Rebecca Pratt, co-founder and president of Orphan Relief and Rescue. Tune in to be awakened and inspired to take action towards what you were created to do in this world, to live fully alive.
Hello, and welcome to the Voice with Action podcast. I'm here with Christian. Hey, Christian.
Hey, Deb.
How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Nice. So I was able to get Christian to come on to this podcast because he also traveled with Rebecca's church, her home church in Austin, Texas. They went to West Africa. He's gone twice now. So I wanted to get him on our podcast and hear how his experience was either trip and kind of what the Lord's showing you in and through Orphan Relief and Rescue. So Christian, I'm curious, why did you even want to travel to West Africa with Orphan Relief and Rescue to begin with?
Oh, man. Once I heard about what they were doing over there, I was like, man, I would love to go be a part of that. And just my testimony was kind of crazy. I came to the Lord later in life, and just he gave me hunger to go give back after all those years of not contributing to the kingdom. I feel obligated to jump in, and like, I'm still pretty young, don't have any kids or anything to keep me tethered at home. So I'm like, yeah, use me. I got nothing else going on. It's the best thing I could be doing with my time. Let's go.
So what was one of your favorite parts about traveling to West Africa?
I'm a foodie. The food is so good. It's so good. And just the camaraderie that we built as a team was great. And getting to meet all the locals, they all took us in like family. So it was good to feel the body of Christ that was working internationally. So I felt part of something bigger for sure.
Oh, isn't the food so good?
Oh, yeah. What's your everything.
Oh, I know. The spice, the pot.
They had this little green spicy sauce, and they were like, y'all probably shouldn't eat this. And I was like, psh, come on, man. My family from Louisiana. What you think?
Was your gut fine? Was your stomach fine?
I do get a little spicy belly. Yeah. I do. But it's worth it. It's worth it. And then they have, like, they make these croissants in the morning for the petit déjeuner. Oh, man. All the fruit is so good.
It's not like candy. It's like fresh. Off the tree. I know. Yeah. It's so good. What Christian's saying is that the safe home where all our guests stay, we actually have a hotellery school on site. So the people are actually learning how to make these delicious pastries, and they get to feed it to us for breakfast in the morning, and we get to be their taste testers. And it is wonderful. It's so
magnifique.
Say magnifique. Say vrai. So what did you find the most surprising or challenging part of the trip? I guess that could be a twofold question. How about let's start with surprising. What surprised you? That you didn't expect.
I didn't expect. That's a tough one. Let me think here. I guess I didn't expect, like at the safe home, like everyone was just so full of joy. You can imagine, you're like, man, this would be rough to stay out here. But they're like, no, we're happy. And I'm like, oh, okay. What am I complaining about then? So it really made me appreciate how like different it is in America versus like other places. And like, we just think that, oh, if I don't have AC, I'm not going to make it. But yeah, I can get by with the air conditioning.
It's true. I know they have so little and they're so grateful and so full of joy.
Yeah.
What do you think is like the source of that for them? Like, is it just a heart of gratitude?
I think it is like being delivered from some darkness, and then you're walking into the light. And so you have like a appreciation for everything. Everything's a blessing once you like perspective, you know?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, because I mean, it's not like they don't still have, I mean, they're still suffering. They're still suffering in life, but it's always seeing the joy, the light. You know, they are searching always for hope. They have a lot of hope. What was the most challenging for you? Because you are going somewhere with no AC, long, hot days.
Yeah, the cold shower was brutal at first, but you get used to it. You get used to it. The heat, you know, you get used to it. But all the locals are making fun of us because we got like fans. And we're like, oh, it's so hot. They're like, what are you talking about? This is great. They're like, come on, get tough. And we're just like, oh, no.
It's so true.
Yeah.
So do they call you, do they call you Yovo there?
Yovo? Yovo.
Yeah. Did they say Yovo?
Not to me as much, I don't think. Maybe the first trip. I don't remember any of the second trip, though. Mm-hmm. I'm letting it right in.
Yeah, that's right. Shirt. Boom, you're a shirt to represent. One of the people.
Yeah.
So what was the most rewarding or fulfilling part of your trip?
Oh, man. All of it. Just especially getting to go out. Like when we left the safe home and went out and about. Getting to meet people. Getting to witness to them. Getting to hear their stories and pray with folks. And then coming back home to all of the your kids there and just like spending time with them and showing love. It's just, I don't have kids, but I felt like a dad because they all call me like Papa Christian. And then like, I got to play with them and like, you know, just toss them around, arm wrestling them, you know, that just felt like a big bear. And then their little cubs kind of just like crawling on me. It was a good time.
Like a spiritual dad for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And I imagine that's how we'll be with Christ. Like, he's our father, right? We'll get to, like, grab him by the beard and, like, just jump on him and play with him. So it's like I get to be his hands and feet there and just be, like, a dad figure here. So it's good to be used any kind of way like that.
I love it. Do you have any specific story from going out in the village or anything come to mind or no?
Seeing a lot of folks after, I forget which village it was. It all kind of run like the names. I'm just like, village 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
We did definitely have one. I think it was Chris gave a message and then we did like an altar call. And a lot of the locals were like, yeah, I'm down. I want to give my life to Christ. And so just seeing like the wave of the Holy Spirit moving through the people and just every angel in heaven rejoices when even one sinner repents. So seeing like a big crowd, you're just like, yeah, God, wow, wow, wow. Just hearing from the staff that are saying that it was not always like this. It's more of a recent development that God is really moving and doing having a foothold there. It's just like insane to be a part of, kind of like I get to reap where I did not sow. I get to be a part of that harvest and I get to be a bear witness to it. It's just a beautiful thing. It's just such a blessing.
Yeah, I know. It blows my mind the way God works, you know, like because Orphan Relief and Rescue has been around since 2007 and been doing this work for the last 13 years at least, specifically this anti-trafficking work. And so the people, like the people that have been praying for ORR, praying for the work, and then here you are, you get to reap like the seeds that have been planted. And I just love how the Lord wants to intertwine all of us and use all of us at different seasons, different times. And yeah, I love hearing that. I think it's encouraging for any listener that's been a part of ORR for years that they can see, oh my goodness, my prayers are being answered. Holy Spirit is moving. I love it. It's inspiring. It inspires me to want to, you know, whatever you're praying for today, the Lord hears you, you know, and his timing is, you have to surrender to his timing. His timing's perfect. So encouraging. What's something that you learned about yourself or your faith or about God on this trip?
I think for me, just the day-to-day provision side of it, like, man, because I told you I laid off a few years back and it's been like a grind, just like working as many hours, many different places as possible. But really trusting that, Lord, I know that it's all going to add up. The bill's going to get paid. I'm going to get fed and we're going to be okay. And so being able to step outside of that and just focus on serving. And then, like I said, seeing other people with even less, I'm like, oh, I could probably get by with less. Cool. I feel like I'm in lack, I actually have an abundance. I have something I can give. And just learning to change my prayers from like, oh, Lord, just please keep providing to, oh, Lord, we need that spiritual covering. We're in warfare. We have people need you for things that we can't even see. And just being more sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit in that way. And just feeling like getting to have his power, being knowing that I'm being used in his power to actually do some of his work. And like, oh man, I'm part of something.
So yeah, because we do talk often here about the spiritual environment. What was that like for you? I mean, were you familiar with the spiritual world in America? Like some people are kind of very asleep to it. It's like quiet. It's more lulled. While there, it's very flashy. The people really believe that the spiritual world and the physical world are one. So they're extremely aware of the spiritual environment. What was that contrast like for you between being at home in America and going there? Was it new for you, or was it something you were prepared for or not?
I don't know if anyone could be prepared for it, but I was as prepared as I could be, I see. I have an interesting testimony of, like, I have been familiar with, let's just say, the spirit realm in different ways. And I've been into, like, kind of the new ways, the meditation, the having the ego death, the transcendental experiences, the manifesting, the tantra, all of that. Like, so when I was, you know, when you talk to people, they're like, oh, that's that woo-woo stuff. I don't play with that. That's not real. And then, like, God, when I met him, he started giving me visions. And I started, like, you know, being able to, like, see, kind of like, I saw some demons, you know what I'm saying? And so, like, I've seen, like, the darkness, and I've seen it moving through people, and I've seen, like, I've been talking to people, and they'll just go completely blank, and I'm like, oh, when I start talking about the spirit, it just literally, there's, like, a veil on their eyes, okay? And then, so, like, when I came over to West Africa, and everyone's like, yeah, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm not crazy. And just seeing that everyone's like, yeah, that's like baby stuff. I'm like, okay, okay, cool. This is where I'm supposed to be, where people get it. Now we can really roll up the sleeves. And I don't have to, like, try to talk in a way to be able to convey these concepts to other people, where they're just like, I don't want them to think I'm that crazy. A little crazy, but not that crazy. Just quirky.
You are not. You have a gift of seeing. You can see. I've had that experience in America. I've seen things. I've heard, but for me, yeah, I've seen stuff. I've seen demons. I've seen, and I think it was preparation. I think it's preparation so that when you go to West Africa and you see things, you see the strength of the body of Christ. You see the strength of the light within. Do you mind sharing things that you might have seen in West Africa that the Lord wanted you to bring freedom to or speak, or whether it be praying for someone, or was there anything he showed you specifically that he wanted you to bring light, freedom to?
Yeah. So for me, in my main, like, heart that I felt the promptings was pouring into the boys and making sure that they were prepared spiritually to be leaders and to be men of God. And, like, just when you have a family and you're having attacks on your wife and your kids, and you have to on yourself, and you have to be firmly rooted in scripture, you have to be relying on the power of the Holy Spirit, and you have to be able to combat, you know, the darkness with Bible verses. You got to be equipped to go to war every day, put your armor on. It's like knowing that and being like, okay, how do I pour into these youngsters to get them to where they can be ready for that? And even in that, you know, the safe home, that environment is like, it can get a little, it's a bunch of boys, it can get rowdy. So it's like, how do you teach them to be loving to their brothers and patient, and with all of that going on? And then just kind of dealing with the interpersonal, you know, conflicts with them, teaching them how conflict resolution, and just, it just felt good to be a mentor. And I could tell God was really using me to give them an example of, because I'm pretty chilled out. So it's like, having a calming presence, be around them. Okay, so this is how a man of God walks, and this is how he deals with the ups and downs, and still staying strong, because, you know, a lot of pride, when you can feel like you've been slighted, you want to fight back. It's like, no, humility, grace, it's understanding, because real strength is being, like, rooted in God and being okay no matter what the world throws at you, and still not letting that shake you, still not letting it upset your mood. So that little bit of that stoicism, you know?
Yeah. So with your personal testimony, do you mind me asking, so if you were kind of more involved in the New Age, you obviously had a curiosity about the spiritual world, if you're exploring, what was that turning point for you where the Holy Spirit revealed his truth, revealed himself to you? Like, what drew you to Jesus?
It's a complicated one, because it all started just college. I was a Christian growing up, but I got away from my support network. Got sucked into the party scene in college and started with drinking. And then it started with the ganja, and then a bunch of different, like, psychedelics and just experimenting around. And, you know, it's our way of dealing with trauma and depression and everything. And I was just seeking for, like, that hole in my heart to be filled that only God can. I just didn't know that at the time. And then I'm also adopted. I got my dad, my birth dad, and he got married. So I got my mom and my dad, but my birth mom, she's like part Native American, part like Latina, like Mexican, Puerto Rican over there. So I was curious into like my roots, where I came from and stuff. And so I think I kind of went on that shaman medicine man journey. Because when I would be experimenting and meditating, I would kind of tap into that spiritual side of things. But oh, this is familiar somehow through my ancestors. So I was like into like listening to that kind of stuff. You know, we know that's familiar spirits and things. I didn't know at the time, but turned me dark. And I used to listen to like heavy metal, like real dark music. And just like I went from like Christian growing up to very like, man, God, it's all your fault. Like very angry, like. I want to fight him. I was like, oh, why'd you leave us like this on this world? Why is the world so messed up? It's crazy. Ah. And then just like one day, like the Holy Spirit came over me in my room. I was just sitting there. I wasn't on nothing. And I just felt it like kind of all over my head. I was like, what was that? No idea. But then from then on, it's just like that whisper just like point me back to him gradually, gradually.
He was wooing you, wooing you.
And then he gave me a vision of just like, because I was just sitting there like, man, why is the world like this? Like crying out, why couldn't it be better? Like, man, if I could remake everything, what would be the best way to make the world? And then like, he just gave me a vision of him, like Ezekiel on the throne, high and lifted up, sitting there on top of the whole universe and the four creatures crying, holy, holy, holy. Like I saw all of that. And then just like, that kind of sparked me to start reading the Bible more because I was like, what was that? Because I wasn't even crying out to Christ at the time. I was just calling out to the truth. I wanted to know what the truth was, whether it be God or what else, aliens. I didn't care. But like when I called out, he came. And so I was like, huh, I was not expecting this full circle journey at all. Like if you could have told me I was going to run back into Christ, like after everything I had done and seen and been through, I was like, you're crazy. No way. So like, then when I did finally read the Bible, I got to Ezekiel and I saw that. And I was like, yo, I saw that same thing. I had never read this before. How could I see that? That's crazy. There's no way. And that just like, and then all of just the interpersonal struggles, like I always felt that hole in my heart and I always wanted to be a good kid, but I kept messing up just seeing that wrestling with the flesh. You know, you learn through, say, like Hinduism, you learn your dharma. You learn to, like, all of the New Age teaching is basically like, yeah, you have those personal fleshly desires, but indulge in them and, like, balance it with the good. But the Bible says, no, all good, take out that darkness. They can't have fellowship with each other. So I was trying to, like, combine them, and I was like, no, let me get rid of that here. New heart, boom. New eyes, new hopes, new dreams, new everything. Boom. So I was like a new creation. All of a sudden, I'm just like, oh man, what was I doing in my life these last 30 years? Oh my goodness. And then I just jumped into discipleship and servant and anything I could. I was like, man, nah, now I get it. Okay. I get it now. And I knew that like since I had gone so far like down that rabbit hole of exploring that I had no more questions or doubts. I was like, yeah, I already doubted everything and he already answered everything. So I'm in. I'm all in.
Wow. Oh, thanks for sharing that, Christian, because part of this podcast, I hope it encourages someone out there, if you have a family member, you know, that's exploring things that are dark or it just they're on a journey, you know, that just know that God is faithful, even when that person is not faithful. Like God is so faithful, and don't give up praying for them because God is the one, God is victorious. And so I just want, you know, that place of surrendering, you know, like how many family members I'm sure stood in the background, Christian, praying for you, you know, and waiting, like waiting on God, waiting on God's timing, not forcing, not trying to fix you, not trying to change you, but God used all of it. Like your testimony is very similar to mine, actually. And I feel like, oh yeah, super similar, like so many parallels. That it is amazing to me that even though like my journey of doubting and exploring other religions, and in the end, when that void in your heart is filled with the love of Jesus, there is no going back. You're like, I don't question anything ever again. Like, this is all I want. I want you. And you are Creator God. You know, you are the lover of my soul, and there's no going back. Yeah, so thanks for sharing that. I think that I hope that inspires someone out there praying for a loved one. So back to your trip. So something that you learned from your time in West Africa that you want to incorporate in your life now or your ministry. You kind of touched on it a little bit of just that heart of gratitude, you know, no matter what your circumstances, you know, being thankful that for what you have, you know, even though you're in a season of transition right now into a new job, the Lord is providing for you. But is there anything else that the Lord showed you in West Africa that you're trying to incorporate into your rhythms and your life back home?
Definitely that heart of gratitude and the reminder to put on that armor every day, because I feel like it's easy here to just slide back into kind of a daily routine of non-spiritual eyes and just get like lured in by the world and be like, oh yeah, I'll just go watch that new movie that just came out or whatever. And, you know, and just slowly but surely, you're just like, man, when's the last time I read my Bible? When's the last time I really prayed? I say, yeah, thanks, you Lord, waking me up. Cool. Oh, bless this food. We good. All right, good night. But it's like, when was I really in fellowship with the Lord? When was I really asking for his wisdom? When was I really applying his word to my life? When was I really like witnessing? And like, you know, because sometimes you get like a, go talk to that person. You're like, I don't feel like it right now. I'm tired. And so it's like that mission, like, on that mission trip, being on mission just hits different than when you're like going day to day. It's like you have that time set aside. You're like, Lord, this is all yours. Let's go. I'm all in 400%. But then some days when you're back home, you're like, I only got 20%, Lord, today. I only got 35%. Just that reminder to stay. I wouldn't say militant, but just like we are in a war. We're soldiers. We got a Sabbath day, but other than that, there ain't no rest. We out here fighting. And it's like, I get attacked in my dreams. I get like everyone in my life got a little fire going on. Like they all turn to me. They want like, oh man, Christian, can't believe what happened. So I got, you know, we got time to listen. So it's always something going on. It's never just like, you know, enemy just wants to, at least if he can't take your soul, he at least wants to take your peace. He wants to bug you. He wants to just make it annoying as possible to live. And you're just like, I see you, but I don't know. I ain't falling for it. Not today. Not today, Satan.
No. Not today, Satan. That's a good song. Isn't that by KB? I should put that in the show notes.
Right? I didn't even know it was a song. I just seen it. I see it on like memes.
Oh, I'm gonna send you the song, Christian, when we're done here. Okay, I'm pretty cool. Sure my kids love it. My kids play it all the time. But no, I agree. Like it's so true. Like when you travel, when you go over on mission. You know, you're like, I'm willing to be interrupted, God. I am here. I am your servant. I am listening. But then when you get back home, we get lulled to sleep or, you know, something steals our peace. And so we want to like, oh, I'm not, you know, I'm anxious. I just want to check out and watch a movie. You know, we're not on point. You know, we're not like, God, what are you saying? My peace is being stolen. What do you say about that? You know, it's so true. Like this, we like lose this need for God. Like you have when you're on mission. And so what does it mean to be on mission here and be like, God, I need you every day. What are you saying?
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
That's a good message to leave out with. And would you say that you're praying that too? Like, what? How's your prayers changed since coming home?
I would say it's a lot of praying for other people and just like stepping outside of myself and my needs and realizing that like, he's got me. I'm not too worried about me. Like, I don't need much. I'm happy with whatever he throws at me. But like, you know, we need to intercede for other people a lot of times because a lot of people don't even know what to pray for. Like, say if you have, you know, people that still have the blinders on, they're getting attacked and it's like, oh, I need help with this circumstance. And I'm like, no, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. We need to be praying against like what's behind your problems because you can have a problem and it's going to follow another problem, another problem, another problem. But until you break that chain, you're not ever going to be free from it. So just adding discernment into the prayer life and It feels good to pray for other people. It feels good not to worry about myself, just to think I'm outside of myself. Because, you know, inside your own flesh is anxiety and depression and all kind of stuff. And you don't want to be worried about yourself. You want to be giving. Because when you pour out, God fills you back up more.
It's true. It's so true. Well, Christian, thank you so much for your time today. Thanks for sharing your heart. Thanks for sharing your testimony. Thanks for reminding us that we need Jesus every day.
Every hour.
Every hour, every moment. And we hope and pray that any listener out there, that you open your eyes to not only God's love for you, but also, you know, how does he want you to pray for the person next to you, whoever he's putting on your heart and on your mind? Just surrender him to Jesus. So thanks.
It was a pleasure getting to meet you, hang out with you. I had a good time.
Yeah, I did too. We'll get you on here again next time you go. Next time you travel with us to West Africa. Sweet. We'll do it again.
All right.
Tune in next week.
Thank you for listening to the Voice with Action podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, would you consider sharing or subscribing to this podcast and leave a 5-star review to help us grow? If you want to reach us or help us end child trafficking in West Africa, go to orphanreliefandrescue.org. That's orphanreliefandrescue.org. See you next week.